Hey everyone, welcome to the Ikigai Essentials podcast. I'm Oliver, joined by my partner in crime, Bill. So welcome to the episode for this week. We didn't release one last week, so apologies for that. We will definitely try to release a new episode every week. Just to recap our last episode, if you haven't listened to that, please check that out. But we focus a little bit on loneliness and connection. And one thing that one of my kind of journeys that I've had that led me to this podcast was kind of through behavioral health. And I've come to know, like through my therapist and kind of through the things that I'm doing and how I'm able to navigate life, is that I'm very good at coping. So one thing that was really helpful for me when I was trying to cope with depression and kind of being down was like how to connect with people. It's really hard when you're, especially when you're depressed. It's like making that effort to connect with people. It's hard enough to like just get up in the morning sometimes. So one of the things that I focused on for a month through this program that I joined called Made For, one of the things that we did was actively trying to connect with people in the morning. So once you wake up and you go out your front door, the first 3 to 5 people that you encounter, you look them directly in the eye, or you try to, it's not always possible, and you say good morning. And through that active step, you can kind of change, your attitude, your just kind of the way you feel about yourself and maybe about life in general. So the last episode of our podcast, that was kind of a call to action I put out to Bill and to the people listening to give that a try. So Bill, why don't you tell us how your experience was?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Oliver. Really appreciate it. And, you know, like Oliver said, we'll try to release more content more frequently. Just been a little busy with the kids' spring break and all of that, but I think we're in a good path to release more and more frequently. So a little bit about myself here, Oliver, before I answer that question is I've always been kind of more of an introvert type of person. I always try to keep to myself, kind of have my guard up around people. I don't really like approaching people. I kind of always wait for them to approach me before I open up to them and say hi or start introducing myself. But I actually took this call to action pretty seriously here in the last few weeks. One thing I've been really doing on my spare time here is I've been volunteering a lot for my kids' school, you know, going to their field trips. They had a jogathon, I'm helping out there. But there's a lot of parents that I don't really know. And for lack of better words, I kind of feel like a lot of those parents are kind of snooty or stuck up. So I don't really want to pay attention to them or even talk to them or approach them. But however, in the last few weeks, I have opened up and walked up to somebody I don't know and just said, "Hey, how are you doing? Good morning. I'm Bill. Nice to meet you." And I was quite surprised. You know, from the outside, they look like they're arrogant. They look like they don't really want to give me the time of day. Maybe that's just my insecurities kicking in and how I feel. But they were genuine. They actually opened up and introduced themselves. They talked about their kids and I talked about my kids. We had a few things in common. And surprisingly, I actually met one person who, he's not necessarily my friend yet, but we've talked about playing golf together. We talked about maybe going out and grab a cup of coffee. And quite honestly, it's helped me a lot. As Oliver mentioned, you know, going through his bouts of mental health and whatnot, I've had similar struggles. There's times where, to be honest with you, I don't really want to wake up, but I still get out of bed. But just meeting these type of people have actually given me the opportunity to kind of open up my network, expand my network, meet new people, especially since, you know, I'm new to the San Diego area. We've been here for less than a year. I don't have a lot of friends, which I'm okay with that. But just meeting these type of people and having the similarities and some things in common kind of makes myself feel a little bit better. You know, it kind of makes myself feel like, okay, you know, there is a reason to wake up. There are people out there who have similarities like me. There are people that I can connect with, and there are people that I can go out and grab a cup of coffee or even play around and golf with them. Not necessarily they won't necessarily be my best friends or something like that, but it helps us knowing that there are people out there. To be honest, this was a challenging call of action for myself. It was an interesting one, and surprisingly, the outcome was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's kind of similar to the experience I had. One of the things that we kind of stressed in that program was that you grow through discomfort. So if you're trying to do something and you feel like a deep sense of like discomfort in doing it, that's usually a good thing. And once you're able to kind of overcome that, then you actually grow. I think there's like actually cognitive development that actually happens when you overcome and when you actually, you know, do things that you are, you know, physically uncomfortable doing. And I think that's the biggest challenge with that call to action is it's not easy for a lot of people. But when I did it, it doesn't always work. Sometimes, especially in LA, I think maybe like a smaller town, it'd probably work a little easier because here you just like come across so many people, and you know, maybe they're walking their dog. Pretty much everyone's on their phone, I hate it. To be honest with you, I hate when people are on the phone, like outside walking around, but you can still do it. You can still try. And I think it's about the effort more than anything. As long as you try, then that's really all you can do. Like if the other person doesn't see you or acknowledge you, that's not the point. The point is, did you actually put in the effort? And then once you're able to do that, how did that make you feel? How do you think it made the other person feel? Because deep down inside, we all just want to be recognized, right? So just recognizing a stranger, because you know we want to be recognized, but we have the power to do that for other people. So that's kind of my kind of take from that. And you mentioned earlier, kind of offline before we started the podcast about like kind of identity. You mentioned volunteering a bunch at your school, your kids' school. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit more about what you meant about like your self-identity and what that means?
Mm-hmm. So great point there, Oliver. Going back to, I mentioned this probably in the first or second podcast that we talked about. I actually got laid off about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, last June, 2023. At first, it was shocking, stressful. I was depressed, anxious, all of the above. After I had, a little bit of time to sleep on it, kind of think about what happened, a lot of things came across my mind. I kind of felt like, man, how did I get laid off? I've been working in the high-tech industry for 20 years. I'm performing well. I'm getting good performance reviews. I'm getting raises every year. Things are going well. Why me? What's my self-worth? I had that question came out of my mind all the time. I started thinking to myself, am I good enough for the corporate world? Why is it me getting laid off now when I have two young kids and we're moving from, the Bay Area to San Diego? Why all of this now? As I mentioned, I've been doing a lot of volunteer work. And at first, when I started doing all this, it was a little weird for me. I'd go to the school, help out with jogathon, help out with field trips, different events throughout the school year. And I noticed that I'm the only dad there. Everybody else is all, females, which is fine. Everything, that's all good. I understand, the other spouse has to work. The female may be the one, the mother may be the one who has time to be able to volunteer. But why am I the only guy? At first, I felt like, out of place. I felt like, I'm just going to volunteer once. I don't want to volunteer again. I feel kind of embarrassed, to be honest with you. But I think you actually nailed it, Oliver, in that comment you just made earlier. As long as you put in the effort yourself and you start doing things that are uncomfortable, you get a better sense of self-worth, if that makes sense. I felt like, I'm not doing all this volunteer work for other parents. I'm doing it for myself and most importantly for my kids and my family. As long as my kids are happy, as long as, my kids enjoy me being there and have a smile on my face and hug me and kiss me when I leave after the volunteering event, I've done my job. It took me a while to realize that, because at the beginning I felt like, okay, I'm not going to volunteer anymore. I don't want to be the only dude in this classroom. I don't want to be the only dude on this field trip. I feel out of place. Why am I here? What if the other person thinks that, okay, you know what? I'm just a stay-at-home dad, not doing anything. But that's not true. You know, they see the outside of me versus the inside of me is totally different. So just putting it into perspective really kind of made me realize that it doesn't matter what other people think. It, what really matters is, you know, I'm doing it for a purpose. I'm doing it for my kids, and I enjoy doing it. So it's challenging, you know, to be honest with you. It still goes through my mind, like, am I doing the right thing? Should I still be volunteering? Or should I just hold off and maybe let my wife volunteer when she has time? But she's been busy with work, so I want to do it. And I'm still continuing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's like a cultural thing? I mean, I think traditional in Asian societies, the man, the husband, the father is supposed to work. That's absolutely just kind of the way it's always been. And the wife or the mother, it's obviously changing now, and it's, you know, for the last, you know, probably 10 years or so. But traditionally, that's kind of the way it was, where like the 50s in America is kind of how Asian culture has been for centuries, probably. So do you think that plays into that mindset as well?
100%. You know, I've even had some close friends talk to me and say, Bill, you got to get your act together. You know, you got to be the man of the house. You got to start supporting your family, get a job, find your next move in your career. But on the flip side, I've had people and close friends and family that tell me that it's okay, Bill, just take your time. Find something you enjoy doing. Figure out your next step in your career. Don't have any shame. It's okay to be at home. It's okay to be laid off. It's okay to take this time off, this little sabbatical that you're taking. But absolutely, I think it is a cultural thing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because I'm actually so reading a book right now. It's called Think Like a Monk. It's by an author named Jay Shetty. He has a podcast too. He's a former monk. I think he's British, but he did the whole training and everything. So he actually lived as a monk for several years, and he actually mentioned something in the book that is basically kind of what you just said, in that he was talking to a guy who got laid off, and he had all the same kind of anxieties that you just kind of laid out. But then, you know, it's like you have to try to refocus, and it's really hard to do in the moment. But, you know, not having to work means you have time to maybe spend with your kids that you wouldn't have had otherwise. And to hopefully, you know, you're still in the process now of finding a better job, being able to kind of recalibrate and really focus on your values. So a lot of what in the book they talk about is living a life according to your values. If you do that, you can't really go wrong. Where if you're just, you know, doing it all for clout or for money, it's not going to be fulfilling, right? And I think you've mentioned it before, where, you know, when you talk about tech, I think it's changing a little bit, to be honest with you, but a tech job has, you know, recently been like the kind of like the golden egg, right? You get a tech job at Google or whatever, and then, you know, they have like a cafeteria, they have like chefs, and they have like pools and like basketball courts, and like it's like a 5-star hotel that you're working at. You know, you can work from home, you get paid really well. So I think a lot of people kind of look at that as like the really the ideal job to have. But the last time, in the last podcast, I think you mentioned that, you know, you see a lot of people like with depression or who are not satisfied in that line of work. And I think it may play into going into tech strictly for the money or for all these kind of, you know, these things, these material objects. So, I mean, what's your take? So having been in that world and now being able to kind of step out and kind of look at it from the outside now, like, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, actually, I started that book, Oliver, that you mentioned. I never finished it. That gives me actually a reminder and motivation to actually pick it up and continue reading it. It sounds like a good book. one of my thoughts on that is, I don't know, maybe my view is skewed, but life's too short to fall into that. I understand that everybody has to have a paycheck. You know, there's mouths to feed, roofs to put over people's head and whatnot, a family to support. But in my opinion, life's too short to kind of fall into that. One thing that I've really been focusing on during my sabbatical here is just trying to figure out what my next move is. I want to find something that I'm passionate about. Like we mentioned before, that's why we're starting up this Ikigai Essentials platform. That's why we want to start up these podcasts and drive awareness, because I'm passionate about it. Throughout my 20 years in the high-tech industry, the pay was great, as you talked about. The benefits were great. You know, it's cool hearing people say, oh, you work for tech company A, tech company B, and all that. You must be doing well and all that. At first, it was cool, but after a while, it just gets old. You know, I feel like there's no return of your investment at the end of the day. Yes, you get a paycheck. Yes, you feed your family. Yes, you support them and all of that, but I'm just not happy doing it. I'm just not passionate. And I think that's one thing that I really realized is you glorify the high-tech world. Everybody talks about how good the benefits and the pay are. You get free food, free dog care and all of that, a free pool and gym and everything there. But, you know, in my opinion, life's just too short to kind of live that life.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You know, another thing to kind of jump off topic a little bit. So, I mean, I read a lot. I'm constantly kind of reading and trying to learn. So I'm reading another book. Actually, I finished it. It's called The Artist's Way. So it's really about, I'm an artist. So that's kind of my passion. But that book is about living a life, like a creative life. Cause that's kind of that part of our brain is kind of shut down pretty early as a kid. I mean, Einstein kind of talked about like, the ideal is to be an adult who is able to kind of think like a kid, right? So once you kind of stop doing that, you lose a lot of creativity and a lot of joy in life in general. So in The Artist's Way, it's often talked about like synchronicity, where things happen to you and they kind of happen for a reason. I don't know if I believe in fate, but you see things that kind of happen once you're kind of taking active steps to make yourself a better person. And I think I'm seeing some of that recently. So you talked about like volunteering. So like a big passion of mine is just like food waste. And I think that plays into my kind of Asian culture as well, where for better or worse, you know, you didn't waste food. Coming from a Japanese family, like, you know, who grew up, my grandparents, who I spent a lot of time with, like straight out of World War II. So after World War II, man, it was a mess in Japan. Like there was no food. It was really bad. So just kind of being raised with that mindset of like, you just don't waste because you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Even though it doesn't really apply as much now, that's always been, you know, a big part of my passion is just seeing the amount of waste. There's so many people that are hungry and we're throwing away like so much food. So I've been volunteering at a food bank recently. So just trying to like connect to what your passion is. So just like doing this, like obviously mental health is a big part of me and my passion. You know, I lost a cousin to suicide. You know, like when I was right after high school, I think, and just kind of being and we've had people that went to high school with us that, you know, committed suicide as well. Mm-hmm. So just that's always been a big part of me, and hopefully through this platform, you know, we can open up dialogue and conversations about what mental health is and what it isn't, and you know, just kind of talking about these things. Like after we do an episode every week, I always feel like way better. Sometimes we come in like with some idea of what we're going to talk about, but then a lot of this is spontaneous and it's really cathartic just being able to talk about things. And you know, you think about things that you've gone through, or, and then just connecting with you and just hearing, you know, like for you, like going, being the only dad, like I'm the playdate dad in my family. All the playdates that we do, I facilitate all of those. I've never really looked at it as like a negative, I guess. I mean, I'm really literally the only playdate dad that I know, to be honest with you. But I've always been like okay with that. Just because when we talk about like legacy and purpose, and I'm kind of meandering a little bit here. The only thing as parents that we have total control over really is like how good of a parent we are. So that's always been kind of the key for my kind of role as the playdate dad, is just putting as much effort into that as possible while they're young, because they're not that young anymore. You know, they're, my two sons are as tall as I am, and it's, you know, so they're getting bigger and older, and just being able to do that for them and being able to be around them, I mean, it's not going to last. So just to kind of tie everything together, it's really about, I think, finding your purpose. Like, why are you here? Like, what is important to you? If you can tie that to your career, I mean, that's the dream, right? If your purpose and your career and that all pays you well enough to kind of take care of your family and everything, that, I think that's the dream. And I think that's what a lot of people either don't realize or want to admit to, you know, that do things just for the paycheck.
Mm-hmm. And one thing just popped in my head, Oliver, I think times have changed. You talked about, you know, supporting your family. Back in the day, that was kind of like the masculine thing to do. The male would do that, especially in an Asian family. But I think you and I were both on the same page. We're still supporting our family, but not just financially, but being the playdate dad. And I'll be honest with you, Oliver, I'm a playdate dad too. And I'm pretty much like the only dad there when there's a bunch of moms everywhere with their kids running around. I'm coordinating all the, you know, activities for my kids, play dates with their friends, coordinate with their moms and whatnot. So like I said earlier, at first I felt kind of weird doing that. Like, okay, maybe I should just let my wife do that. Maybe it's her duty because all the other moms are doing that. But I understand she's busy. I probably do a better job of organizing those things, and I actually enjoy doing it. But at the end of the day, we're still supporting the family, right? It's just times have changed in terms of how you do that. It's not just a male versus female thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. And, you know, just like the expectations, especially related to gender. I mean, you know, there's like, you know, that's what's interesting. A lot of people, like, I think we're like borderline millennial probably. When we talk about like Gen Z and like Gen A, there's a lot of like complaining, I think, about younger generations. It's just, you know, because it's different. But there's a lot of really good things too, I feel like. So when we talk about like kind of gender roles and expectations, so something like on TikTok right now that is apparently getting popularity is like the stay-at-home boyfriend. So yeah. There's like the stay-at-home girlfriend for a little bit, and now there's a stay-at-home boyfriend. I think traditionally, like, that would probably upset me. Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to go out and work and contribute to the relationship. But I don't know. I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe it's okay. Like, if your girlfriend is making good living and she's like okay with the situation, maybe that's fine. So, just like, these things that didn't exist when we were growing up are kind of coming into play. And I think it's easy to look at them very critically, maybe with disdain in the beginning. But then when you really think about it, is it that far-fetched? Is it that bad? I don't know. So I think it's really interesting, like all these things that are like popping up. Because, you know, like younger people are just more open to talking about like mental health and their struggles. Things that we never talked about are kind of fair game, I feel like. But for another thing that, you know, I've noticed was talking about like coping, I guess we can maybe move on to that a little bit. So I found that like the everyday, when things get repetitive, I tend to get down. So like if I know like I'm going to like work out in the morning, and then I know I got to take the kids to school, and then I know I have to go to work, and then I know when I get home, I have to make dinner, get everyone ready for bed, and that's it. Like, that's the day. It can get a little depressing when you know that's, like, your entire day. But what I did today was, so usually I go to, like, this 24-hour gym that you have, like, a little fob to. You can go in anytime you want. There's usually, like, a couple people there kind of doing their own thing. There's no staff or anything. So it's a pretty lonely workout, I would say. You kind of, everyone's kind of there to kind of mind their own business, I guess, and kind of do what they need to do. But I went with a friend to like another gym today that was like total opposite of that. There was like a front staff. Everyone was like super friendly. They had like music playing. It was like dance, like house music, which I enjoy working out to. That was like pretty loud, I would say. So a lot of people there, they didn't have headphones in. So you can have like open conversations with people, which, you know, the place I usually go, everyone has headphones on. It's kind of hard to talk to people in that situation. So it was like a totally different experience to me this morning going to that particular gym. And it made a huge difference. Like I feel like much, much better. So I think just kind of shaking up your day. And it might connect to what we talked about in the very beginning. When you like are saying good morning and you're looking people in the eye, because that's outside of your comfort zone.
Exactly. So
it may be tied to that. I don't know. I didn't really think about it until now, but maybe just kind of getting outside of your comfort zone, maybe that helps kind of with your overall baseline mental health.
Mm-hmm. I think you just answered my question I was going to ask you there is, did you feel uncomfortable doing it at first? It sounds like yes, you were.
Saying good morning to people?
No, going to the gym, going to the new gym with your friend.
Not at all. Like, so I think for me, it's like, I don't know, like my mindset. Like there are days where I can just like talk to anyone about anything and not have any anxiety or anything like that. Like, but there are some times where like I'm kind of stuck in my head and it's really hard to do that. So I don't know. But I feel like if someone came up to me, if I was maybe down inside my head and not really in the mood to talk to people, I feel like if I came across someone in the morning that looked me in the eye and said good morning, it might break me out of that.
Really?
Yeah. So being that for other people, it's pretty inspiring, I would say. But sometimes I'm okay. Like, I don't need that. I can just, like, I'm open. I'm you know, I have energy. I can talk to people. Just joke around with strangers. Not a problem. But sometimes, yeah, I don't have that. And if I don't get some kind of exterior force to break me out of that shell, then sometimes I do get stuck like that.
Okay, that's interesting, because I thought at first you were feeling like a little discomfort going to that gym. It wasn't your normal routine, all of that. Because for me, you know, I feel like that. I'm like that too. I get stuck in a rut, waking up every morning, get the kids ready for school, come home, do other activities, house chores and all that, pick them up at 2:30, take them to tennis, take them to basketball, take them to swimming, come home, play with them, dinner time, sleep. That's it. You know, in the past, I'll be honest, what I used to do in terms of, you know, fighting off that boredom was I would abuse substances. That was like my only escape. Just even being high for like 1 minute or 1 hour, I felt like, you know, that routine's over with. I have something to look forward to. But nowadays, I don't want to go down that path, right? So I am trying to do different things like you, Oliver, in terms of saying hello to people in the morning. Volunteering for school and different activities, even though I felt uncomfortable at first. And one thing that I actually been starting doing is, you know, I met a bunch of people, a bunch of dads from my son's basketball team. They're all middle-aged people, probably similar to my age. And we actually started playing basketball every Saturday or Sunday. We're a bunch of old guys just trying to play 3-on-3 and not get hurt and have some fun and get some exercise. But it's actually been a good experience. at first I kind of felt like, you know, I don't know if I can hang out with these dads. They don't have a lot of things in common with me besides basketball. I don't really think I could talk with them. But I actually met a couple of people that I never thought I would hang out with, to be honest with you. This one particular guy, he just moved here from South Korea. His English is not that good. He's a little bit older than me. But it was interesting. We actually just had coffee yesterday at Phil's Coffee. At first, I was kind of like, I don't know if I can go out with this guy. I don't know if I can even discuss anything with him. We have communication gaps. We don't have a lot of things in common. But it was actually interesting because I actually felt refreshed. I felt like it's not a normal routine for me. I dropped off the kids, went to the coffee shop. It kind of mixed up my day. I felt motivated. And then yesterday afternoon, I actually came home and worked out, got a good exercise in, just felt like a new person at the end of the day.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe that's something that we, maybe that's it. Maybe just like, I said, they said the variety is the spice of life, right? Just like adding something out of the norm. I feel like just like movement helps. So especially when I don't really feel like doing much, like I'll just force myself to take a walk and it always helps. I'm always grateful I do it. So just like, I think we talked about earlier, just like effort. It's really effort, I feel like. So putting in the effort to do really anything almost. Because if you are just stuck in your head, then you just like cripple yourself. You can't do anything because then you're like second guessing. Well, if I do this, then this might happen. And then you can't do anything. So, yeah, I mean, that sounds like, yeah, a really good experience, just kind of doing something, adding something out of the norm to your daily life.
I think effort and stepping out of your comfort zone, that's definitely helped me. You know, like 6 months ago, a year ago, I probably would never do these things. I would probably never say hi to these people. I would never reach out to somebody and have coffee with somebody I just met, especially somebody who I can't really communicate with. Stepping out of that comfort zone has kind of led me onto a better path.
Cool. Yeah. So maybe up until our next podcast, maybe we can, that could be our call to action for the week are those two things, effort and stepping out of your comfort zone. So I don't know if you have any ideas on what can be done or if you know what you're going to try or if you're going to try the same thing, but maybe that's, you know, what we can focus on for next week.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Cool. Anything you want to add before we wrap things up today?
No, I think really is just, you know, this is a good journey for myself, personally speaking. As I mentioned earlier and before, is one thing I would always do to get myself out of these funks is rely on substances, which obviously is not healthy. It's destructive. I think Oliver can attest to this. We have a couple good friends who are going down the wrong path because of substances and addiction. And just doing these different things has really helped me grow, kind of grow as a person, grow as a father, grow as a son, grow as a human being, basically. And it's a healthy way. So, you know, I think really this is just something that we can continue on. I love the spontaneous discussion that we're having and just these various topics that we're touching on each podcast.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. So this, you know, even if no one's listening, it's definitely helping me just talk about things. And, so the Dalai Lama, who's one of the people I look up to, he says, when you speak, you're only saying what you already know. Listening is the only way to truly learn something new. And that, you know, that was kind of mind opening for me, is that especially now, like if we take the time to kind of listen to other people, that's the only way we can truly learn anything. So I'm appreciative of this time to kind of learn from you and hear what you have to say. And otherwise, you know, there's nothing to be learned if we're just kind of living inside our heads, and it's impossible to say something that you don't already know, right? So there's really no learning that can be done that way. So yeah, I appreciate you and I appreciate this time. Hopefully there are things that we talked about today that will be of help or people can relate to. But yeah, that's pretty much it for today. Until next time, thank you all for joining us on our journey. Please subscribe and leave a review if you can. We'd love it.
Absolutely. And as we mentioned last time, if there are any topics, anything you guys want to talk about or hear about, send us a note.
All right. Thanks a lot, everyone. Take care. Have a good one.